And so we're going to turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, reading from verse 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you'll certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We thank God for that reading from his word. We've been reflecting since the end of August, beginning of September, on this theme, live by the Spirit. What does it mean for us to live by the Spirit? And we began by reflecting in Galatians chapter 5, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I think some people were a little quizzical when I didn't begin really by talking about the Holy Spirit. Because so much is often talked about the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and so on. And where I wanted to begin was with God. If we are to live by the Spirit of God, then we need to understand what is God like. And if God is like this, then we should seek to model our lives on that characteristic. And we reflected on the fact that God is love. No matter how you meet God, experience God, God is love. It's as if his DNA is love. It's as if the blood flowing through his veins carries love wherever it goes throughout the person of God. God is love. And because God in his essence is love, God acts in love. And so throughout the Bible, we have all these experiences that are recorded by people. And of course, fundamentally, what the Bible is, are people's experiences of God. And they've written down what God has done, what God has said, the direction he's given, the purpose he's shown people. And whenever we meet those stories of people who've encountered God, they speak of the God of love, of compassion, of mercy, who freely forgives sins. So not only is God in his essence love and is somewhere out there, but God acts in love. And God relates to us in love. Whenever he meets somebody, the relationship is established in love. And the last time, just a couple of weeks ago, when we reflected on this, we talked about God's law of love. And the confusions we sometimes have about the difference between law and love. What should we do? All these laws are there in the Bible. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or neighbor's donkey or neighbor's house or whatever it is. What should we do with all those? And we understood that all of those laws, all of those rules are just specific examples of how to act in love in a particular situation. When somebody makes you mad, and what you want to do is murder them. Now, come on. Have you ever been there? Somebody's made you super mad, and you think, if only they didn't exist. And Jesus says, you've heard it said, do not murder, but I tell you, if you hate that person in your heart, you've already murdered them. What was Jesus doing? He was saying, you've heard it said, here's the law, don't murder. But don't you understand, beneath the law was love? And don't murder is just a specific example of what to do when you want to get rid of somebody. Don't murder them. That's not the loving thing. Love them. You've heard it said, don't covet. But I tell you, be satisfied with everything you've got. What is the loving thing to do? To live in love. And so God's law of love. Love is most important. So when people come to Jesus and say, what should we do to inherit eternal life? And they quote the laws at Jesus. Don't murder, don't covet, and so on. But there's one law, Jesus says, just one you need to do. Love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. You'll fulfill all of the laws, all of the commands. And in that way, you will live by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit will be pleased to dwell with you because you have prioritized your life in love. And so we've spent a few weeks just reflecting on love and our experience of love and what God is like in love. Today, going to pick up a couple of the verses that we read just a moment ago, verses 19 and 20. This day, halfway through, what does it say? Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. And the encouragement, firstly, is that God has placed his Spirit in you. We've heard so much about God is love. And you might be thinking, and you may have thought, well, I wish I could love like that. I wish my life could reflect the love of God that I read about in the Bible, that perhaps even other people speak about. If only that love could be mine. And the encouragement is this: God has placed his Spirit within you. God is not external to you, but he has placed himself within you. And there is no need to search and to scrape around and to go to this place or that place in order to discover where God is. The Spirit is within. Moses says, the Word is within you. God has placed his Word within you so that you don't have to go to any other place. All you need to do is be still and know that the Lord is God. And it is that simplicity. Do you know, I wonder sometimes whether we'd actually prefer it if it was all a bit more complicated and it was a bit of a challenge and something we could attain to and go for. But it's just that simple thing of being still and being aware that God has placed his Spirit within us and he gives to us a new motivation. Is that light flickering? Is that what you're distracted by? Don't bother with the lights. God has placed his Spirit within us as a new motivation, as an impetus for us. He gives to us a new sense of peace and a new sense of being within us, of being loved, of being safe with God as Father, of that sense of wholeness and completeness. God has placed his Spirit within us. And everything we've talked about God as love, acting in love, relating in love, all of that is right here. Sometimes we use the expression, the answer's at your fingertips. And it's not even there. It's within us. It's within us. The Apostle Paul uses the wonderful illustration of fruit. And he says, look, if you let the Holy Spirit dwell in you, if you let the seed of the Spirit, the seed of God, just rest in you, and you create the good conditions as best as you can to let that seed grow and flourish, then eventually you will bear fruit. You say, well, what do I do? How do I make that happen? And I sometimes look at the trees we've planted in our garden. But this time of year, the leaves begin to fall off. And I always think, will they grow again next year? Will the fruit be on the apple trees? Will it happen? And mysteriously, the fruit is there. Some year the harvest is good, sometimes it's not so good. But as long as the sunshine is there, as long as the rain is there, as long as the wind is there, it all works together and grows. And all we need to do is put ourselves before God. Be still before God. Listen to his voice. He is not far away so that we've got to go and search for him. He's not distant from us so that we can say, well, God is with you but not with me. His Spirit is with us. And all we need to do is let the Spirit grow within us and the fruit will transform us. God has placed his Spirit within you. And the encouragement in this verse is to choose life. These verses perhaps are some of my favourite in the whole Bible. The fact that Moses, he's been through a lot. You know, when you trace the story of Moses, he was there. He encountered God in the burning bush. Fantastic account. He does his best and makes a mess of things. He has to get his brother Aaron to speak to Pharaoh instead of himself because he says, I stutter and I can't do it myself. So somebody else speaks for him. And then when he finally gets to lead the people of God, all the people complain against him. And you can imagine every day Moses just fed up to the back teeth. God, you call me to do this. This is the last thing I want to do. And yet it's the very thing I want to do. But all these people are complaining at me day in and day out. And they've had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. Moses thought it'd be a quick trip across the river, across the Red Sea, across the desert, and then they'd be there and they glimpsed the promised land. But God said, no, you're not going to enter. They've had to walk around for 40 years. And when we get to Deuteronomy, it's the second telling of the law. That's really what it means, Deuteronomy. The second telling of the law. Because in Exodus 20, we have the law is given for the first time on the first journey. But then they've wandered around for 40 years. And now God says to Moses, tell the story again. And he tells the story again. And says, look, folks, it's almost as if he's saying, I've been at this too long. You know, I've been here and I've done it. Now, let me put it simply and plainly for you. I'm going to put two things in front of you. On the one hand, I'm going to put life in front of you. And on the other, I'm going to put death. The choice is up to you. You can choose life or you can choose death. It's completely up to you. But as for me, I've been in this too long. I've wandered around because of our disobedience. I've experienced death. And so he says those words, those wonderful words, now choose life. Now choose life. Make a decision for life. Make a decision for purpose rather than futility. Make a decision so that you can go forwards as the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs you. And of course, just being put in that situation, some of us may feel uncomfortable being confronted. Make a decision. I'm sure we've all been in those situations where, you know, we've had to make a decision and we don't know what to do. We don't know which decision to go for. But Moses is very clear. You know, I'm going to put the decision before you, but here's the answer. Choose life. Choose life. Jesus, on one occasion, was with his disciples. And initially, he said to them, who do everybody else say that I am? And it may be that we could imagine Jesus coming to us and saying to us, who do your friends and neighbours say that I am? And of course, his disciples respond with, well, some of the people we know are talking and they're saying that you're John the Baptist. Come back from the dead. Whereas others we hear, they're saying you're the prophet Elijah. Come back. Some others, well, they just say you're a great prophet of God. And there's a sense of comfort for the disciples. Jesus says, who does everybody else say? But then he turns his eye on them and says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And they have to make a choice. They have to say. And they can't avoid it. And the same is true for us. We can't avoid the choice forever. And we have to decide. Will we choose life? Will we stand up and say, well, of all the choices that are before me, I choose life. We have that encouragement. Choose life. And to choose love. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. I've often been puzzled when you read the Bible and there is a command to love. Have you ever thought of that? If you've ever said to anybody, you must love me. No? Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought, please love me? Love is free. You can't force anybody to love you because then it's not love. But time and again we have the commandment, love the Lord. Verse 16 in our passage, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase. Here's the thing, if we choose for life, if we choose to walk the way of God, if we choose to let the Holy Spirit rest in us, then what we discover is love is not a difficulty. Love is not an imposition. Love is not us being squeezed into somebody else's mold. Love is that which comes naturally to us. And all we've done is we've chosen life. And we've said, the one thing I want is to live. I want to live with God. I want him to live in me. I want the Spirit to fill my heart and my life. This is what I choose. And if the spotlight was on you, where would you choose? Where would you choose? Would you choose life that you may love? Choose life and choose love. Three words. Love, hear, and hold in our verse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. That you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. If we decide, if we choose, if we are confronted with that decision, these options are before us and we choose life so that you may love. It flows naturally from the life of God, from the life of the Spirit. It flows naturally. But then the encouragement is to listen. Are you listening? Are you listening? Could you repeat back to me what I've just said? That's a test of listening, isn't it? Because there's a subtle difference. There is listening and there is hearing. We can listen to music and it just be noise. Somebody was saying to me recently, they actually asked me the question, when you listen to songs on the radio, do you hear the words? And I went, not really. I don't really. And they said, well, I do. I hear the words of the songs. She said, this person said to me, well, don't you know what this particular song is about? And I said, no, it just sounds good. It's got a good melody. It sounds okay. But she was hearing the words and she knew what this person was singing about. And there's a difference between listening and hearing. And the encouragement here is actually more than just to listen. It is to hear. And in order to hear, man, we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. Say, I want to hear what God is saying to me. Choose life. Choose love. And you will discover that what flows from within is love. Is that desire not just to listen, but to hear what God is saying. And the encouragement that you might hold fast to him. And this, again, is a picture of clinging to God. I like that, hold fast, cling to God. Because you discover, as the Spirit is within you, you discover that everything else is fluff. Nothing else matters except to know God and to live in him and to have him live in you. And it all comes down to a decision. Choose life or death. Purpose or futility. Moses says, choose life. Choose life, choose love. And you will discover love flows. You will discover a desire to listen and hear. And you will discover the only thing you want is to cling to God and to never let go of him. And if we are to be those who live by the Spirit, then we have to be those who are confronted with the question, what will you choose? Let us be those who choose for life. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, for the constant reminder it is to us that lying before us every day is a decision we have to make, to choose life. And Father, in this moment, we respond to that. Father, we pray that you would help us to be those who choose life, that we choose purpose, that we choose love, we choose you. May your blessing rest on us as we seek to respond honestly and openly to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.